Hello and welcome to Inside the Mind of a podcast where I dive deeper into the minds of some of my favorite people and people who inspire me in the wrestling community. Joining me today, co-host of Mind of Meanie and host of the Foundation Radio, the main event, Adam Bernard. What's up, man?
What's going on? How are you, Katie? Great to see you again.
I'm good. Yeah, we should probably talk about that. We actually met in SummerSlam this past year. You probably had a way better experience in the actual show than I did.
Oh,
it was bad.
So at the actual show, it was the shits, or was it like in Detroit?
I was in Detroit for less than 24 hours. Yeah, I was in my hotel room for a solid, like, hour and a half, 2 hours max the entire day.
Oh, man. Wow.
Yeah. The show itself was awful. I was on the floor, and just everyone around me it was a mess. A grown man told me to go fuck myself at the end of the show because I told him to sit down.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
That's awful. That's horrible. I'm sorry to hear that. That's not pleasant. That sounds like the worst experience of all time.
Yeah, I made a whole, because like I was vlogging it a little bit. Like if you saw me pull my phone out when we were with Haley.
Yeah.
And so I ended up putting stuff together. And when I got back to my hotel after the show, I was like on like an hour of sleep, exhausted, basically breaking down into my phone, expressing SummerSlam.
yeah.
So if people want to check that out, they definitely can. It's on my channel.
Yeah, for sure. You should definitely go check it out. But I had a great time at SummerSlam. It was my first time in Detroit, and I haven't eaten spaghetti and meatballs since I've been in Detroit, and so Haley can attest to this. So have you been a part of any of the media stuff for WWE or AEW or any of those things yet?
Not yet. I'm trying. Hopefully I'll be at Mania.
Oh yeah. Yeah. No, you'll be in my area. Yeah.
I'll be on your side of the state. Yeah.
That's right.
So I'm trying to get media for it.
Yeah. I've only done WWE, so I'm going, I don't know when this airs, but as of Friday, I'll be in Tampa for the Rumble. So this will be my second time.
Okay.
I missed out on Survivor Series. We just had I have four kids and, you know, getting everything sorted schedule-wise with my wife and the holidays, like it just didn't work out, which is fine. Right. Like it's not a big deal, you know, shit happens. But my first one was at SummerSlam. And so when you go and do like the media setup, the press conference or whatever they call it, they have a specific name for it. You go into this like hotel ballroom almost, and it's like different stations where you can interview different talent and things like that. And then there was this giant gap of time between when we did this press junket and when the community event happens. We're talking about like 5 hours, right? My hotel, because I'm a fucking idiot, I booked my hotel like a half an hour, 45 minutes away from Ford Field, not realizing that I booked at the wrong Wyndham or whatever freaking chain it was. Because Josh Chernoff, who is the guy who runs Premier Streaming Network, he and I worked together for a while. And I was there doing stuff for Premier Podcast Network, which is like the podcast arm of his world.
Yeah.
And so he and I are coordinating like hotels and stuff because we're like trying to work out. We're going to do Ubers and shit to split costs. And here I am at the wrong fucking hotel, right? I'm like, oh my God. I'm like, I'm not going to go all the way back like 45 minutes to go to the hotel, come all the way back down on the other side of 8 Mile to go to Ford Field. I was like, fuck it. I'll just stay in downtown Detroit.
Yeah.
So I'm by the Fillmore and I'm walking down around the vicinity of Ford Field and I see Mom's Spaghetti. Which is Eminem's spot, right? That's his spaghetti joint, you know, making light of the Mom Spaghetti meme on Al Gore's internet. And so I end up posting up there and I met like Haley and Malcolm or Muscle Man Malcolm and Sir Wilkins from the Jobber Tears podcast. We were like our little, you know, quad group, right? We were a quartet together. And so we ended up all congregating in this place. And we sat there for hours and the music was just like blaring, right? Like, there's a video on my Instagram of me dancing to Ain't Nobody by Chaka Khan, which is arguably one of the greatest pieces of music that's ever been created, right? And I'm just vibing, right? And it's like, it's loud. Like, I don't even have to add any music on top of it. It's that loud, right? Wow. That doesn't do it justice on how loud it was in Mom's spaghetti. And I had spaghetti twice that day because I was hungry. We go back the next day, right? So like, once you're done the community event at night, there's nothing to do until the pay-per-view happens the following day.
Yeah.
So I'm like, well, fuck, what am I going to do? So we're all in a group chat texting each other. I'm like, well, let's go meet in Detroit, right? And I'm waiting for Alfred Kunawa from Forbes. He and I were going to meet up, and we end up all back at Mom's spaghetti. And I had another thing of spaghetti. I'm like, I'm not going to fucking eat spaghetti. And I had held tight to my word that I have not had spaghetti since I've been in Detroit. So, but other than M&M's restaurant, SummerSlam was great. Like, it's that first experience, right? When you're a newbie and you go and experience, mm-hmm. like, there's so much going on and you're interacting with talent and all these people you've just only maybe interfaced with, like, through interviews. You know, I've had a bunch of the my colleagues from that world on Foundation Radio.
Yeah.
Meeting them all in person, getting to know them and spend time with them. It was a good time. I'm sorry to hear that yours wasn't as successful or fruitful as it could have been. That sucks. I'm sorry to hear that.
No, it's okay. I mean, it was the first time that I did apply to be media, but I'm such a smaller content creator. Mm. I was like, I'm probably not going to do this, but I'm going to be there anyway. So fuck it. Try it.
Yeah, give it a shot. Why not? What's the worst they say is no. Right? Like, I
what's the worst to say? No response? Been there, done that.
I feel like it happens, and that's part of the game, right? You have to just, like, I found that, like, making yourself, like, unavoidable is the goal, right? Like, presenting yourself and presenting your content in a way, and your conversations and what you do in a way that makes you, for lack of a better word, you know, obviously talking about Pastor Cody, making yourself undeniable. Right? Like, that's what you have to do. And, like, that's kind of what I've been working on the past couple of years, is just to get to that level. But you'll get there.
Well,
keep chugging along. You'll get there.
Yeah. I've only been, this is technically only like my fourth year podcasting.
Mm.
So third year of it being like the She Leads Showcase itself and its own entity. Cause I was on another podcast before this for a year. Okay. And then I was like, I'm doing my own thing. And so I have me and my co-host, but you brought up, you know, working your way through it, years. How did you even get your start in this world?
In podcasting or just in wrestling?
Podcasting, but you can say wrestling too.
So in college, this story goes back to like 2005. Okay. In 2005, I had like no direction, right? I graduated high school like a year or two before. I had very little support through my life from my parents, not a great upbringing. And I was hanging out with some friends at a cell phone store. And my buddy Kurt, who used to work there, was like, you should start, like, there's this new thing on iTunes called podcasting. And it's this whole new thing where, cause I wanted to be in the radio, right? I'd gone to school to do radio broadcast. There's a school out here near Philadelphia called Connecticut School of Broadcasting, which I know it's Connecticut, but it's like a branch of it. And it was in Cherry Hill, New Jersey. So I went there. Okay. And during that time, it was the same time when Howard Stern was leaving terrestrial radio and going to satellite radio. So it was around like 05, 06. So like everybody was like, you know, batting down the hatches, like no one's hiring anybody. Right.
Yeah.
And then getting into satellite radio had just like, I probably could have before Howard signed his contract, but it was like, you know, you have to be a notable name now. Right. Cause now they have credibility. So Kurt and I are talking and he's like, well, you should probably go into this podcast thing. All right, well, I can talk, like I can bullshit my way through pretty much anything, right? And he's like, well, what do you want to call it? And I was like, well, I don't fucking know. I'm not creative like that. I can't name it. And he goes, and I swear to God, he sits back and he goes, dog, right? Because everybody's dog to Kurt, right? Dog. I got the best name. and we were listening to The Roots. There's a song, it's called The Next Movement. You know, familiar with The Roots crew from Jimmy Fallon? So they had this song called The Next Movement. And at the beginning of the song, he goes, you're now listening to the sounds of the foundation. And he goes, dog, I got it. Let's call it Foundation Radio. Okay. So Foundation Radio was born. And so it was really shitty. It was terrible. We had these like 8-bit mics in a laptop that was like this thick, you know, and like it was, you had to know somebody who like ran a studio to get even solid quality like sound. You know what I mean? Like you're talking about recording into like Winamp type of Windows media shit. You know what I mean? It was brutal. I don't think I even have the recordings left, and I probably threw them away because they were so bad, right? So it didn't go anywhere. Like we couldn't figure out the metrics of it. And it was very new and it was in its infancy. So we said, fuck it. We're just going to put it away and be done with it. Right. Mm-hmm. Fast forward to 2009. I go to college at Westchester University because I was finally like, I want to go do something. Right. Okay. And my roommate at the time, Greg Mead, who's like my best friend, he's at WCUR 91.7, which is their FM station on campus. And he's like, bro, you should come and do the show with me. He's like, yeah, I know we talk about like do radio stuff. So you should come and do the show. So I come and do the show and it ends up being like, well, fuck it. I'm here forever now. Right. Like this is I found my place now. Right. Mm-hmm. And so I resurrect this name Foundation Radio and we become the most listened to broadcast in WCUR's history. Right. So it's the two of us and my buddy Sam Kreps, who is now the executive voice on Mind of the Meeting. He does all the intros and outros and all that shit. And this other guy, Joe Keen, four of us became like it's almost like Howard Stern without all the cussing and all the weird shit that he does on college radio, right? Like we're blasted sometimes before we do the shows. We're going out to Jake's Bar here in Westchester, get blasted afterwards, right? But because we were all kind of connected, right? We all hung out with Bam Margera and Brandon Novak and those guys. Well, me and Joe did anyway, but we had them on the show and that kind of just helped elevate our stature, right? So then we ended up landing Yellow Wolf, the rapper, and Neil deGrasse Tyson. So we became like this really popular show in WCUR. So college ended and nothing really happened. It just became like a thing we talked about, like, oh, this is really cool. And then 2019 came around and we were getting ready to do our like 10-year reunion show, whatever, just because we wanted to pop ourselves. Right. We're like, oh, let's do it. And we decided that we were going to get back together and then we were going to start a podcast. So we started the show and then COVID hit. You know, we played like Dungeons and Dragons, right? We had Tommy Chong on. It's just like the very early episodes of the show are obnoxious, right? We're drunk at 9:30 a.m. at my dinner table, testing beer because Joe and the other guy, Jeff Quinn, that we hosted the show with, were arguing about beer. It's nonsense, of course. Right? So COVID hits and we are all kind of like trying to figure out how we're going to keep this thing moving. Like we really like doing the show, but it can't continue right now in the way that it is. So I started to a couple years before that, I started getting into wrestling podcasts and I really loved Conrad Thompson's stuff. Like I loved his shows. Like I tuned into Something to Wrestle and 83 Weeks, like every week. Right. Mm-hmm. And so I reached out to Conrad and I was like, hey man, like I'd love to have you on the show. And he was all about it. He's like, yep. He's like, let's get it scheduled. So he was like, he's always been one of my big supporters in that world. And it just kind of snowballed from there, right? I started picking up more interviews and Asher Roth's been on the show. One of my colleagues, so I used to write for the newspaper back in Bucks County. One of my colleagues is a reporter now on CBS News. His name is Robert Costa. He's been on the show. So like I have all these different connections in different worlds. Mm-hmm. And it just started to snowball from there, right? And then linking up with Josh and then with Meanie. So like it's been this really long, like 2-decade process to kind of like get to where I'm at now. Mm-hmm. But it's cool to see, to know that name still exists in some fashion, right? And is becoming a brand in and of itself, which of course, Kurt reminds me, you know, every time I talk to him, don't forget, dog, I named that show. I'm like, all right, dude, I got you. I got it. All right. So that's how I got here.
That might be one of the most intricate stories I've heard. And I'm so down with it.
It's everything. Everything is connected, right? Like everything that happens in life is connected in one way or another. And it happened to work out for me in a lot of different ways. So
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I would say so. I mean, the different variations that you went through to get to where you are now, especially with your show and everything, like that's so cool to see.
Yeah.
Again, because you started on like just the shittiest thing you could possibly find to now, the growth is there, Adam. It's beautiful.
Yeah, I love that. Thank you. It's been
Of course.
if I can, I'll send over a photo when I find it of the first and only original Foundation radio show that we did all the way back in like 06. It
Sweet.
is, whoo, dog, it's bad. It's bad. So.
Love that though. And so you've gone through all of these like different variations of the show and this journey you've been on. Do you have any favorite episodes that come to mind off the bat?
I got a bunch. So, and I generally, to be fair, like I hate the sound of my own voice. I know a lot of people say that, but like I fucking hate the way I sound. So I rarely listen back most times. But so we had Bill Goldberg on the show. So my oldest son and I kind of went Twitter viral back when Twitter was a thing. And to be clear for the show, Katie, we're referring to it as Twitter because I don't
Oh,
acknowledge the other
I
name.
don't call it anything else.
There's no like,
It's
we can
always
go on.
Twitter.
It's always going to be Twitter. Like, why would you? Okay. Anyway, anywho, there's an episode I do with Bill Goldberg. He came on the show and he talked to me and my son about, my son was getting bullied in kindergarten. It was really awful. And so I tweeted a picture of Goldberg. Goldberg responded. He followed me and we've been talking and keeping up. And so we did a spot. It's like 15, 20 minutes. That is probably, I think, one of my favorites just because he was so genuine, so kind, has continued. He and I continue to catch up from time to time. And I'll check in, I'll send him messages about James. And so that was a fun one. When COVID hit, we had an idea we were going to, so basically, like, we did an episode about beer, because
Of
that's what
course.
everybody wants to listen to, right? Everybody wants to hear that. And then so we were talking and then we're like, all right, well, let's do a show about like breakfast meats. Like, we were just trying to come up with anything, right, to stick. And when it so at that time, the pandemic hit, and I thought to myself, like, we should really be like documenting this, right? We should really be documenting like the early weeks of this whole new world that we're falling into. And so me and the smattering of co-hosts that I had on the show at the time, we took voice memos for like 2 or 3 weeks, maybe like 2 weeks, right? And I compiled them all together into one show. So it's almost like a running journal of all of our days, like as we're off, right? It's only about an
Okay.
hour or so. And then we have it at the end. It's like this shitty Skype recording because I didn't know what the fuck I was doing on my computer. Because we're all learning this at the same time, right? And so it became this episode called COVID-19 Killed the Radio Star. And it's one of my, it's, I think, creatively one of my favorite projects that I've ever done. I'm actually getting ready to upload all of my past content onto YouTube. And the guy that does my mixing, Carl Pinnell, I'm going to send him all the stems because I saved all of them from 4 years ago. And I'm going to have him like really edit it and make it sound like real, real nice, for 2024. But that's probably one of my, I would say one of my favorite episodes. Rob Van Dam was super cool. We went for about an hour and 15. That was a lot of fun, talking to him about the mafia, which I didn't know that we both shared that affinity for mafia history. I've had a lot of really cool ones. Like, there's a lot of really great content on Foundation Radio. So I would say like those three are probably standouts.
Okay.
But there's, lots of good shit. What about you? What do you, I know I can't ask questions until the end, but what about you? What are some of your favorites?
I mean, you can ask me questions throughout too, but
I will do that then. Yeah, deal.
you're totally allowed. So like I was telling you before, like so this podcast itself is going on its third year. We always do like themed episodes. We always have like a spooky showcase where my co-host and I dress up and we do a Halloween theme. Those are always my favorites.
Yeah.
I've done a lot of, we call it solo Sakati.
Okay.
When she either can't do the show and so I just go solo, which that's fine. I'm the host and I can
Right.
talk. I can bullshit my way through a show. It's fine. So those have been fun. Oh, I feel like just those probably off the top of my head. I also am like a part of a few other podcasts, but like
Oh, cool.
not, I'm like on the show, but like not on the show
Yeah, you're like
kind of
affiliated.
thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's like people associate me with them and then forget that I have my own show kind of shit. And
Yeah.
I love them for that. And I just did two shows this past weekend with them, so
That's awesome.
everything I do with them.
It's usually like for me too, it's like the episodes that are that don't necessarily feature like the most prominent people either, right? And that's not to say that like their stories aren't important, right? Like I have there's a couple episodes I want to mention too, just in case anybody's listening and wants to check it out. So a friend of mine, Sandra Highmark, she had this really wild story after COVID hit and like had this like whole thing that happened in her life. And she's like one of the most positive people I've ever met. And like she's telling me the story about like she basically got a job in California after she was laid off at University of Southern California. And she's going to be working for this new startup company. And her start date is January 26th of 2020. And she's supposed to work for Kobe Bryant. She's supposed to be Kobe Bryant's right-hand woman at Mamba. And so she literally is starting the day after his helicopter crash. And you know, Sandra and I have been friends for over a decade, right? Probably close to 15 years now. And her and my wife are we all met like through the Westchester group. She dated a friend of ours and we all just stayed friends. And she's telling me the story just drops the lead, right? Like, oh yeah, by the way, it was Kobe Bryant. I'm like, are you kidding? And you know, her mom had died of cancer previously, and it was just that in COVID hit. So like, but she was like just incredibly positive, like through this whole experience, right? And I just found that fascinating. I was like, I want to talk to you, right? And then one of my oldest friends, I've known him for like 30 years, Sam Marshall, he is a composer and a producer for like Sony video games. And so we ended up talking about that, and then we ended up talking about music and sampling, and like it just like kind of turned into this like super fun conference. So like for me too, like the granular discovery of people's stories, sharing people's stories and talking to them and getting to know them and presenting them to maybe people who may not know who they are or start listening to them after that or start to discover these people. Like those I think are my favorite topics or my favorite episodes. So yeah.
That's why I do this interview series and the way I do it, because it's mainly so far all been podcasters in
Yeah.
this space. Because you're, yeah, we all talk into a microphone and we
Right.
can up a persona to like an 11 if we need to for certain stuff, but we do other things. We are normal people.
I
It's
have a
like
whole life outside of this. I have a shoot job. Like I said, I got a family. Like I'm a
it's crazy.
photographer. Like I you people are like, oh, you just sit in front of me and keep it like, no, I got a fucking day job, man. Like this is what I do in order to keep, you know. If it monetizes, great. Like I'm fucking stoked. Like of course I'd love to do this as a profession. You know, I don't ever like to say that like it's a hobby or it's a side hustle or like no, this is part of what I do in my life. And like that's I think for me reshaping that and refocusing it because I was always one of those people that was like, oh, it's a hobby, right? Like, oh, it's just something I do. You know, like no. It's this is a part of what I do. I am what I do for my actual like 9 to 5 job. And I also am a media creator. I also am a podcaster, right? Like, and it's always that feeling of like, oh, you're less than if you're not like at a Chris Van Vliet level or, you know, like Fightful level, whatever it is. Like, there's this stigma about it. And it's like, no, like I take myself as seriously as they do. And I'm hoping that that translates to everybody else.
It's like I'm looking through a fucking mirror.
Listen. That's what happens on both sides of PA, okay? I'm in Philly,
Honestly,
you're in Pittsburgh. That's how we do it. So,
PA represent. That's all we need.
just saying.
So you, the Kobe Bryant thing is still crazy to me, but you're helping me so perfectly with my transitions to these next questions. Any unexpected moments that happened on your show, whether it's makes your jaw drop, makes you bust out laughing, just catches you off guard, anything you can think of.
Let me think about that. Off the top of my head, I can think of Eric Bischoff, the second time I had Eazy-E on.
Okay.
So Eric is the homie. Eric is the coolest. Despite what you may have heard, he is the nicest guy. Just like, so, you know, he's the kind of guy, like, you can just ask him a question and he's going to give you everything you need to talk. And then you can literally just pick up and go right into the next thing. Right. Like, yeah. And, or tie it back, like, just so next level with the way he processes. Mm-hmm. So it was a part of his promotion of his book, Grateful, that he did with Guy Evans. And in the book, like, it was almost like a throwaway comment in some aspects. He was talking about photography. And I'm a photographer. I've been shooting film and digital for about 2 decades now. It was one of like 3 things I was good at in high school. I was like, I want to ask him about that. Cause that's, I want to know, like, what do you, you know, tell me about this. Like, where did your love of photography start? And he basically tells me this whole story about how that was part of his journey into Wyoming. And about how he was a photographer and what he did to make money out there. And you can listen to the episode and hear the rest of the conversation. But a friend of mine, one of my frequent collaborators, Duke from Duke Loves Wrestling, reached out to me and he's like, I've heard everything Eric does. I've listened to everything Eric does. And I've never heard him tell that story before. I have never heard that story before. And a lot of people had reached out with the same comment. They were like, we didn't know Eric was a photographer. We didn't know he was into that. So like, for me, that was like one of those things where I was like, oh, that's great. You know, what else? Baron Corbin and I share mutual friends in Westchester too. Baron Corbin and I, so I used to hang out, like I mentioned, with the Jackass crowd. Well, some of the Jackass crowd, Bam and Novak and those guys. Mm-hmm. And I ancillarily knew Ryan Dunn. So what I mean by that is, like, I had met him a handful of times. Ryan was a wonderful person every time I saw him. It was only maybe 3 or 4 times. And every time he, like, I have a whole story about, like, the whole thing when, you know, I was a firefighter too. And we talked about that. Like, it's a whole thing, right? Yeah. So here it turns out we go to Goldberg ties into this as well. Goldberg set my wife and my son up and I with front row tickets to SmackDown when they were in Philly.
Okay.
And so Baron Corbin starts the show, and on his, I think it's his right bicep on the inside here, if you look, there's a PA logo, and it's like LA, but it's listed as PA. And it's very specific to a segment of folks in Westchester. Okay. It's the logo of a clothing company called Elsewhere. It's no longer around, which sucks, but I have a flat brim hat that has the same logo on. And I looked and I went, and I'm like, he's making eye contact with me, and I'm looking at the tattoo and I'm like, what the fuck? So I reach out to one of my buddies, Cameron Taylor, who is, you know, Cameron used to work for Dunn and is part of the scene. And I was like, bro, I was like, do you know this guy? And he uses his shoot name and he's like, oh yeah, I know him. I've known him for, and here it turns out he's friends with Dunn and those guys and all these, wow. Doug, my tattoo artist is his tattoo artist when he's in town. And it's just, it's crazy. So I met him in Detroit and that's how we started. So now Corbin and I are kind of like chatting about different things. And like, so it was just funny to be able to make that connection. But yeah, that when I saw that was probably like tying it all together. That was probably like one of the cooler things.
That's amazing.
Yeah. It's a super niche thing that like you have to actually like know the logo, know what it's about, know where it's from. Yeah. And the fact that he just showed up and like just because he put his arms out, I was like, hey, I know that shit. You're part of the, you're, it's like a secret handshake, you know. I know what that is. I've seen that before.
It's so, like a secret handshake.
It's a total secret. Like it's specific. Because it didn't, it wasn't like a big national thing.
Yeah.
That was I think what popped me. And then again, after we did the media junket, we talked for a little bit about it. And, you know, so hopefully I get the chance to see him in Tampa. I know I'm going to try to catch up with him while I'm down there.
So. Good. I mean, hopefully you do. I love when it's like such a small world and things happen like that.
Yeah.
And then it's just like so many different branches come together and just create one crazy ass fucking tree.
It's just like, oh my God, here it is. And it's like, that's the first thing we talked about was I saw the tattoo and, you know, and
here's so, hey, dude, I know that.
I'm fucking aware of this. I know I'm part of the team. Cam told me to give you the secret handshake. So we're going to do this and then we'll do the interview. We'll be fine. Everything will be good. It's good. It's good.
We've officially become like just the mop.
I've just morphed into like Silvio from The Sopranos. He's got that mug, you know.
That's all right.
So, yeah, it works. It works. This is what we do here. This is what we do.
This is what we do.
This is the flow.
Listen, I barely have like a Pittsburgh accent now because I do so many podcasts with people from Chicago.
Oh God!
Even saying that, yeah.
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 I have questions. I have Pittsburgh questions for you at the end. I'm gonna stay tight to your rule. So.
Okay. We'll keep that in mind. So you mentioned and understand. So this is not a hobby. This is a job. This is mm-hmm. part of what you do.
Mm-hmm.
And little time that you do have, because again, you also have a family and you do all of these things. Do you have any other hobbies that you like to do?
I'm a big photographer. So I photograph every chance I get. I have two film cameras that I have. One of them is typically with me all the time.
Okay.
Anywhere I go. The digital I enjoy, but it's clunky to pull around. And like, I guess because I learned how to shoot in film, it's mm-hmm. kind of always been my thing.
Yeah.
And again, because it's a process, right? Like developing black and white film, going into the dark room, cracking a can open, doing a whole fucking chemical, you know, treatment. It's just like, it's a whole thing for me. And it's like, you know, I think about my mentor, is a guy named Bill Islinger. He's called Is. He was my photography teacher in 10th grade. And he passed earlier, actually, Jesus Christ, it's going to be a year in February 5th. Wow. One of the few adults in my life who gave me structure, who looked out for me, and would call me on my shit when I needed it, right? Like, Is was the dude that I needed in my life at the time.
Yeah.
And so I continued to shoot film throughout that as a way to like honor him as an individual, right? And like the impact he made on my life. And I saw him in 2016 at a Hall & Oates concert in Camden, New Jersey at the Tweeter Center is what we call it, but it's the, I don't even know what it's called now. It was the BB&T Pavilion. It's got 100 names on it, but it's the Tweeter Center. And I saw him and I told him, you know, like how, you know, got the chance to tell him how much he meant to me and everything else and how important he was. And so from that point on that day, because he asked me, he's like, are you still shooting? I was like, you know, time to time. He's like, what do you mean? There's always a reason to shoot. You should always keep shooting, you know? And so literally I got home the next morning, I rummaged through my closet and found the film camera that I was using in college. And I just kept shooting ever since then. And so film has always been a passion of mine. So I continue to do that. I listen to a lot of music too. I'm a big hip hop guy. So I'm always constantly listening to trying to find new music and stay up to date with the artists that I enjoy and I love. what else? And I just try to be a good parent. You know, try to be a good dad. I got two boys and two girls. So I'm always trying to find stuff to do with them and keep them occupied. They are godless heathens of the unwashed masses. And they are, we call it the Barnard Home for Wayward and Troubled Youth because they are just animals, literal animals. No, they're wonderful kids. And I tell them that to their face that they're the unwashed masses. Like, I'm like, y'all are just horrific, but I want to spend as much time with my family as I can. You know, I'm be 39 this year and, you know, they're only going to be young for a little bit, you know, like we were talking about before we went live, like I'm going to try to do mania media, say that five times fast, hard pass, God, you watch me stutter? That'll be quality fucking programming right there. I'm going to try to do that, but I bought tickets for my oldest son and I to go to night 2 because he wants to watch the he wants to watch the pastor finish the story. So I'm planning my media stuff around night one and the day before. And I've, you know, said it to everybody that I connect with. It's like, nah, night two is for my kid. Night two is for my son and I, and to go and enjoy it. And because at the end of the day, we're all fans too, right? Yep. You know, Stephen A. Smith is on the sideline of football games, right? Like Shannon Sharp's on the sideline of football games. And you know, like everybody I know, everybody who's in the industry that they are fans of the industry as well. So like, I try to enjoy that as much as I can. But yeah, those are probably like my biggest outside of work things.
Yeah, I feel like music is just one of those just like common things that everyone can bond over in some way, shape, or form.
Yeah, yes, very much so.
I have a hoodie on now, but I'm eventually gonna have a whole music sleeve of tattoos.
Oh, that's awesome! I want to just jump in back real fast to give you a bit of breaking news as I'm getting this, because we're wrestling people.
And Raw's on right now.
Seth Rollins just vacated the World Heavyweight Championship.
Fuck. I knew
he was going to. He's got a grade 2 MCL tear and needs 3 to 4 months to recover. And he is out.
That's so heartbreaking.
That is... awful. This is him right here. This is from the WWF feed or WWE feed. Listen to me. That's
an WWF.
listen. I went crazy there for a second. So,
Seth Ray Rollins, poor baby boy. He just looks so sad.
Awful, awful, awful news. So, WrestleMania's fucked up now.
Yeah.
I wonder if they're going to see. I bet, and we can game this out a little bit before we get back into our questions. I bet you that. Here's what I think is going to happen. Then you can disagree. I think they're going to make the match tonight between Drew and Damian for the World Heavyweight title. Let him cash in. I think Priest is going to win a title. I think then they do a title match at Rumble.
Okay.
And Drew goes over and wins the title.
Ooh.
And they let Drew run with it, be a menace to society for 3 to 4 months. Punk wins the Rumble. Cousin Phil wins and challenges Drew to the title at WrestleMania, and he wins. And then they set up the big return for Seth,
yeah,
at one of the other pay-per-views, either Battle of Berlin or, you know, maybe even SummerSlam, depending on how it all kind of plays out. I think that's probably that's a good bet. What do you think, Katie? What do you think is going to happen?
I don't know, because I mean, I was always a big component of Drew deserved a title shot in front of people. He definitely earned it, especially during the pandemic. He held the company on his back, yeah, as one of many people, yeah, did. So I was like, he definitely deserves that in front of people. Having him win, like, say they do it tonight, and this is coming out tomorrow, so this is just going to be very fun to see what happens.
Yeah, you can game it back on Twitter, yeah.
So I think if they do it tonight, have Drew win, and then you can just have Damian cash in and just ruin his night.
That's actually not a bad idea.
Or you can do what they've done. Well, they haven't done it at a Rumble in a while. Just have the winner of the Rumble become the World Heavyweight Champion.
That actually solves a lot of problems for Cody, doesn't it? Because
it's not the title he wants, though.
But he doesn't win the Rumble. He doesn't win the Rumble. He wins. He gets eliminated by CM Punk, or somebody else eliminates him. Right? He goes to the Chamber and wins. Punches his ticket to WrestleMania with Roman. That potentially could solve a shit ton of issues here. Outside of, you know, television's Rock the Dwayne Johnson showing back up. Rock the Dwayne Johnson. Television's, the World Wrestling Federation's Rock the Dwayne Johnson. So you could solve a ton of problems there by just allowing Punk to win the big gold belt and then push it right into the Chamber. But I don't know. There's a lot. I mean, like I said, we'll explore this on Twitter tomorrow, but I'm sure there's going to be a lot that comes from this. So back to your question, Zoe. I'm sorry. I want to give you the breaking news as we were talking. Yeah.
Thank you. I love getting breaking news during shows.
Hey, listen, I dig it. So.
Yeah, I've been like staying off my phone for that specific reason because I knew Seth was going to open the show, and I think I knew deep down he was vacating, and I was like,
oh, I did too, and my brother just texted me, and it came up, and I was like, ah, fuck, I knew it. Fuck. So.
Well, I mean, okay, so this is a fun little segue, I guess. This is one of my favorite questions. I always love asking people because I love hearing the responses I get. So you, Adam, you get a dinner with three wrestlers, dead or alive. Who are you picking and why?
Oof. Jesus, Mary and Joseph. Let's think about this for a second. Cody Rhodes. Just because
the pastor himself,
I think we need someone to bless the meal, right? Like, we need to have a blessing. And I feel like he's going to show up in his Easter Sunday best, his pastels, the whole deal. No, just because I think he's the shit. Like, he's got the great, one of the best stories of all time, right? Like, in wrestling. So I would say Cody, Bray Wyatt. Ooh. Is another one. I had the pleasure of meeting Bray with my oldest son as well. Just the nicest guy, genuinely. Mm-hmm. And I would say Bray, just because I think that meal would be hilarious. And I think he was one of those folks that was just so next level that you just like, I just want to be around that, you know, like they're just people like have that energy, right?
Yeah.
They're thinking 3 or 4 years in advance, right? It's like Prince, right? Like just the wheels are always turning.
Yeah.
Had an aura about him too. Like when you meet him in person, right? Like the only other person that I can compare that to meeting in person was 50 Cent. 50, like you didn't walk next to 50, you walked like around him, right? And like he was like, he had his own aura and it was like, he just shut the room down. Mm-hmm. And so meeting 50 was a lot like, or meeting Bray rather was a lot like meeting 50, where it was just like he just had this presence. And I think Bray, for that reason, he would be second on my list. Number three.
People always struggle with number three.
Number three. Dean Malenko pops into my head a lot.
Okay.
Yeah, you know what? I'm going to go with that. Dean Malenko. Dean Malenko was like,
your gut told you so.
Yeah. Dean Malenko was one of those guys that are just like, he wasn't the biggest dude. He wasn't like the marquee guy, but he could rip, fucking twist your shit up, and was just one of the best technical wrestlers I've ever seen.
Yeah.
Still to this day, I don't think there's many people who touch what Dean Malenko did. And I don't think Dean Malenko gets enough respect or enough recognition or notoriety based on who he is as a performer. Mm-hmm. I never missed a Dean Malenko match. I'm a product of the 90s with the Attitude Era and the Monday Night Wars. And whenever Malenko was on, that TV was fucking on. So... there's a lot of people that I would say, like maybe Austin or Sting, but like, I don't know. I just think Dean Malenko would probably be number three, I would say.
I think that's a pretty solid list. Dwayne has been a popular choice.
Of course, he's the future president of these United States. Of course, I would imagine anyone would want to talk to these United States. On Al Gore's internet. No, I could see why people would say Rock. Like, I would love to, just again, like someone who's got a presence, right? Like someone who's just there. I could see why he would definitely be a popular choice for sure.
Oh yeah, number one amongst everyone, because like I tallied them not that long ago. Eddie Guerrero.
Oh yeah, that's a great answer too.
Eddie has been the most picked person for this question.
Any particular reason why?
A lot of people just say because he was like their favorite wrestler and that kind of stuff. So yeah.
I could see that. Yeah. I could definitely see Eddie being. Oh yeah, those were. I mean, again, like you another guy who was like not the biggest, not the top tier, didn't meet the criteria of a top star, right?
Yeah.
And then did what he had to do to become a top star, and then became the champion of the biggest organization in the world, right? Like, it just, I mean, how could you be mad at a fairy tale story like that? Like, how could you hate on that, right? Like, just an incredible story, and just one that was cut far too short. I often wonder too, like, I think about guys like Eddie, I think about guys like Owen, I think about, even Draws, like guys who were in the prime of their career realistically and died or were injured and couldn't perform anymore. Like, where would they have gone? Right. I often think about like Owen, like what would Owen have done in the in the full throes of the Attitude Era, right? Because they were only really just kind of getting started at that point when he passed. So imagine like I obviously we're fantasy booking, but like I could fully see Owen Hart being WWE champion and just that like nasty shit heel, you know, just like. Like, fuck yous all. Like, I'm, you know, like, just, oh, God, that would have been fucking amazing. We missed out on that. We missed out on that. So
there's been a lot that we've sadly had to miss out on. And sometimes it's okay to play the Disney what if.
Yeah.
With the WWE stuff.
Absolutely.
Ow. I was going so well without coughing.
Hey, listen. Listen, it happens, right? It's part of the game. That's what we do.
We're gonna keep on rolling.
Yep.
Now I'm sweating.
Always, I'm always sweating. Like, just never. It's summer, winter, doesn't matter what temperature. I'm always fucking sweating because it's humid as shit in Philadelphia in January. So it's cool. It's cool. Yeah. It's no problem. It's
cool. The humans. Yay.
The human experience is so great. It's so.
I love it.
I hope whatever comes after us, like as you're watching this, it's so fun to be a human. Like, I'm not lying. I'm not lying about that at all. And not my eyes aren't telling the story. But no, go ahead. I'm sorry.
The red dot shows up. Yeah.
It's like the whole side of my face, like flames on the side of my head. Yeah.
So we've kind of like sprinkled this throughout this conversation. Is there any advice you want to give to anyone watching or listening after the fact, whether it's about podcasting, about chasing your dreams, whatever advice you want to give, floor is yours.
Invest in yourself. Get the equipment that you need to make yourself sound successful, to make the sound quality the best it can be. That goes a long way. Find someone who knows how to mix audio and have them teach you how to do it, or send it to them and let them do it, right? I'm big on sound quality on my shows. The biggest piece of advice is two major ones I always try to tell everybody. Bet on yourself every time. And what I mean by that is like, just you're going to get no's, right? You're going to get 100 no's. You're going to get missed opportunities. You know, I had a TV show that was about wrestling that was canceled. I've had countless declinations from musicians and wrestlers and performers, you know, that I reach out to, authors, you know, like people that I want to talk to that I could think I could have conversations. And it's usually like, oh no, we're going to pass or ghost it, right? You never hear back.
Yeah.
Or we don't have time, right? And so for every denial and cancellation you get a win, right? You go to SummerSlam as media, you get Robert Costa, you get, you know, Eric Bischoff, right? Diamond Dallas Page, like you build your credentials, right? It's it's the long person's game, right? It's a long game you got to keep working on, right? Because if you're only focused on this part of it right here, and the effort that goes into doing what we do and making yourself stand out for where you want to go, you're never going to appreciate, and you're never going to be able to accomplish what you want, because you're always going to be stuck here in neutral, right? It's just going to be stuck here. So believe in yourself and bet on yourself, because that's only going to help you get farther, right? Like we said, like it's the idea that like what you're doing is not a hobby. What you're doing is presenting information to people that they may have not gotten before. And it's about believing in what you do, right? If I don't believe in my own shit, nobody else is going to listen to it, right? If I don't believe in my shows and my product, then I can't get anybody else to believe in it. No one's going to listen to it. No one's going to watch it. So I have to be the biggest supporter of my own stuff. And I know that sounds weird to say, and like kind of maybe selfish and weird, but like at the same time, it's like, no, like I know my stuff. I know that I can have a conversation. I know that I ask unique questions, and I know that I do things in the way that I'm supposed to. I don't step on people's hands. I don't kiss rings. I don't kneecap people getting to the top, right? Like I am in this very inclusive mindset where everybody can eat at the table, right? Mm-hmm. So, and that leads me to the second point, is like pay it forward, right? I've been so lucky in the past, like, I don't know, 4 years, 5 years that I've been doing this, where I can start to feel like I'm able to connect people together, right? Like there's a lot of things that go on, and mechanisms and turns that happen behind the scenes that people don't always know about, right? Like they don't always hear it. They just see the final product and they're like, oh wow, that, how did he do that? You know? Well, it's a lot of trust building, and it's a lot of relationship building and networking. And then you get to the point where you can connect these people that you love, that become your friends and your colleagues, right? Yeah. And it's you know, one of the best, I keep mentioning him, Duke, but like Duke helped me elevate what I do to the next level because of the advice that he gave me, because of the tools and tricks that he gave me. Yeah. And he doesn't want to be shouted out. He's like, he's not one of those guys. Like, he's not like, oh, you got to shout. He's just like, the only thing I want is for you to pay it forward to the next person who is up and coming and is going to be in the position that you are in right now. And the best thing you can do for me is to pay it forward to that person. And that's what I'm doing. And I try to do that every chance I get, right? Any opportunity I'm able to connect someone or give some, you know, reach out on behalf of or whatever it is. Like, and as long as it works, like, I don't want anything. You don't have to fucking thank me. You know, like, keep moving, like, just keep building on this, because we're all, you know, we're all here together, right? Yeah. If it wasn't for Duke, I wouldn't have linked up with Josh to end up on the Mind of the Meanie show. If it wasn't for Cam Hawkins, I wouldn't be connected and with him and all the things that he does. He's one of the biggest supporters of my work. And, you know, having him on my side has helped allow me to, you know, like build my brand, Public Enemies podcast, Alpha Kanawa, you know, Haley, like all these people that we know, like it's paying it forward where I can, and using those friendships and those relationships that you build. I think that's another thing too, like build those fucking relationships. Like not everybody's going to like you, right? Like not everybody's going to be down with what you do. Not everybody's going to like what you do. And that's okay. That's okay. Right. Like that's life, right? You can't win you can't bat 1,000, can't bowl 300 in every lane you bowl on. Right. Yeah. And that's fine. I don't have to compromise my integrity, or I don't have to genuflect or change what I do or who I am as an individual to get you to like me. You either do or you don't, right? Just don't be a dick about it, right? Like don't be a dick to other people for the purpose of being a dick, right? Like don't do that to other people, because that's scandalous behavior. And I don't get down like that. So sorry if I rambled there. I started to think and piece together, but that's really, I think really important advice, right? Because everybody's like, oh, you should make sure you post content and build all this stuff. Like, no. Like everybody can find that shit, right? Everybody knows how to start a podcast. There's hundreds of people that'll tell you how to start it, but nobody tells you about the back end stuff, the back of the house shit that you have to find it on your own. You have to fall down on your face and figure it out by yourself before you're like, oh fuck, I wish somebody would have told me that. So I think that's those pieces of advice. Like if I could tell anybody, you know, in this position, just starting, what to do. Cause those, like I said, those interviews will come, right? Those conversations will happen. Those connections will happen. But if you're, not doing the things to get to the point where you want to be. And you're, as Gangstar would say, you know, selling your soul for mass appeal. Like, you're, what do you have? You don't have anything. So that's my best.
I feel like that's very solid advice. A lot of, typically when I ask that, the first one people say is be yourself always.
Sure. Sure.
Cause it's you that you're putting out there. If you're putting out something fake, then people can tell.
They can see right through that shit, Katie. They can see and smell it too. So I can smell a fake from a mile away. So.
Oh yeah. It's like, you can definitely like up your personality. You can,
you can always turn it up and put the radio voice on. But once the radio voice goes away, it's just you sitting at the table. And yeah. You know, like, no one has to be Casey Kasem. Casey Kasem already did that, right? Like, you don't have to be him.
That's factual. He did do that.
It is factually accurate that he was a real person.
He was. Yeah. I know that.
He was a person. He lived at some point. It's true. Google it. Use the Google. Go ahead, kids. Go ahead, all you youngsters out there. Hit the Google, as we used to call it back in the day. Yeah, I'm old. I'm 100 years old. So go ahead. I'm sorry. I'm derailing.
You're not 100 years old.
I'm pretty close. So my kids say, they're like, oh my God, Reagan was president when you were born. I'm like, yeah, it really wasn't. That was like 10 years ago, right? Now we've had how many presidents? What? No.
No way.
No. What?
That's crazy.
What?
No. I love this. This is great.
This is awesome. I love it.
This is why I love doing this show. So the other question that I always love hearing what people say, if you could write an autobiography of your life, whether it's the entire life, this part of your life, anything specific, what's your title? And if you want to, tell me why. I'm not making you.
What would my title be? Oh shit, that's a good question. Let's see. I don't want to give you too much dead air.
That's okay. It happens.
I swear I'm doing a good job. That would be my title. I won't dive too deep into that just because there are things I can't really share about my life.
Of course.
You know, as far as like things that happened in my youth, but there is a viral thread that I did last summer about Jey Uso. That his story resonated so deeply with mine because of the abuse that he was suffering from Roman, that mirrored a lot of the same abuse that I went through as a child and an adolescent. Mm-hmm. So when I think about those things and I think about life and what I would want people to know, I should say, I swear I'm doing my best. That would be more apt. To what I would be, because that's something I have said a lot in my life. I swear I'm doing my best. I'm doing the best that I can. And I think that's a really solid title for my life.
Yeah.
I'll leave it at that.
And that's all. I never make people dive into it. I always give that option. People don't have to deep dive and divulge that all that information on the internet.
No, it's like, and I, but I also, I don't mind having those conversations. Like, I don't, you know, like, I don't mind talking about any parts of myself that people want to know about. Mm-hmm. I'm pretty open about most things, right? Yeah. I just think that it doesn't serve me to discuss things about people who are still alive in full context. Yeah. For a multitude of reasons, right? Like I, you know, obviously from a legal perspective, but also just from a perspective of, you know, comfortability, right?
Yeah.
There's a lot of people who will weaponize your story and things that happened to you. in your life, and use it as a way to either belittle you or you know, humiliate you or any of those things. And like, we're all human. We're all experiencing the same things all the time. We all make mistakes. We all do things we wish we, you know, or have said things that wish we could take back. And I'm sure that my abuser wishes that a lot. I'm sure that they wish a lot of things were different now, but at the end of the day, like I am the one that dealt with the effect is, or rather I'm dealing with the effects of what they caused. Right.
Yeah.
And I think, I think it's a good way to put it. Right. I think, and again, like, I have no fear of talking about those things. It's just protective stuff. And I don't, you know, other people that are involved in that, like, I don't want to involve them in that kind of shit.
Course.
So, yeah. So, but I have no issues about talking about anything with you.
Yeah. Well, I mean, well, thank you for saying all of that. You briefly alluded to it in the beginning, which can only start an hour.
Right. It's amazing. It's amazing.
Crazy. Time flies when you're having fun, right?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Future plans for your podcast. You can give me like up to a month in advance. Like I said, I'm putting this out tomorrow.
Afternoon. Yeah. Yeah. So we just celebrated, well, I had two milestones in both of my podcasts. So today, as we're recording this, and you can listen to it wherever you get your podcasts, Mind of the Meanie just celebrated its 200th episode. So Meanie, Blue Meanie and I are very excited. We had a great show. We just reminisced about the show for like an hour and 15 minutes. And then we had a bunch of our friends and colleagues send in clips congratulating us. So everybody from Dave LaGreca to Busted Open, to the Public Enemies podcast, to Ken Jong from Community, Dr. Ken.
Okay.
Yeah, Meanie and Ken are friends. Ken is a huge wrestling fan. He's an avid wrestling fan and an avid supporter of the wrestling world. Mm-hmm. He was actually the first person that sent us something too, which is wild, you know. So, and then also hearing Senor Chang say my name is like, oh my God, I'm fangirling a little bit. I thought it was great. You know, we have a lot of other great people. Sam Roberts sent something in. Luke Hawks, RJ City, lots of really cool people sent in some clips for us. So that was a lot of fun.
Yeah.
And then, so today, as you're watching this, the 100th episode of Foundation Radio comes out. And I talked to rapper and wrestling fan Mega Ran, who is going to be down in Tampa, and we're promoting his Battle Rumble show, which happens on Friday night before the Rumble. Okay. He's also a Philadelphia guy. He is someone that and also works in special ed. One of my children is on the spectrum. So people who are in the special ed world, you know, speak to me in a way that, you know, I have a lot of respect for them.
Yeah.
And so that was cool to get to talk to him. So those two things are happening all at once. As far as like future plans, I mean, I'm really just trying to build out what I want to do with Foundation Radio. You know, I think this is the time, especially after the Rumble, like I know I can do this, right? Like I know I've kind of conquered this mountain.
Yeah.
And like, where do I want to go with it, right? Like, how do I want this to spin? Where do I want it to be? Yeah. And so when I did my 2023 review roundup fucking analytics or whatever, I noticed something weird. So I purposefully shied away from commentary. And anybody who follows me, like, you know where my politics are and anything else. Like, just, and if you don't like it, like, kiss my ass, right? But like, I did a commentary on gun control. And it was, there was another, you know, I'll save you the details because I know this is more wrestling oriented, but I am a big supporter of gun control in this country for a lot of reasons. And I did like a 15-20 minute commentary on how gun deaths, especially school shootings, are preventable. And I have, you know, like I said, I have four small kids. And so I talked about all the different things that happened. Like my wife was pregnant with our oldest son when Sandy Hook happened, right? I'm old enough to remember when Columbine happened. That was 1999. And I was in middle school. I was in eighth or ninth grade, I think. It was middle school then. And I remember like the metal detectors and the random checks and the kids wearing trench coats, and they were being stopped by the resource officers and these new fucking cops that were all over school that didn't prevent any fucking shootings, right? So I had this whole real passionate thing that I wrote, and it was the most listened to episode of the year by like 500%. Wow. And I was like,
oh, shit.
Are you serious? Like, people actually want to hear, like, listen to me talk about this stuff. You know, it was like surprising, genuinely. So I didn't know anybody wanted to hear me say these things. So I think after the Rumble, like post Rumble, I'm really going to start focusing on shifting my show to be more than just wrestling, right? More than just conversations. Yeah. I want it to be more of a representation of who I am, right?
Yeah.
It's going to be everything. It's going to be a smattering of things. It's going to be politics. It's going to be current events. It's going to be wrestling. It's going to be photography. It's going to be whatever I want it to be, right? Mm-hmm. Conversations with unique people and fascinating individuals that I can tie into the commentary in the beginning. Almost like, imagine like Keith Olbermann meets Sam Roberts, right? Like that's kind of how I'm imagining it right now. So that's kind of where my goal is and how I want to build it. And I'm trying to build my brand. Like, I'm trying to get people, trying to get the subscribers on the YouTube channel, trying to get people to follow, you know, follow and build my brand online and get that moving. But, as far as Meanie goes, Mind of the Meanie, like, I really would like to, we have an event coming up, during WrestleMania weekend. It's called Meanie Mania. It's going to be at McCusker's Tavern in Philadelphia. We're going to have more information on it during the shows and as we start building towards it. We're going to start building towards that. And we typically don't have guests on the show. We very rarely, like, we had Al Snow on our 100th episode. But I would really like to see maybe potentially us building, you know, guests spots into the show. I think that would be fun. You know, and it doesn't have to be all the time, right? Like, it's just once in a while. Like, maybe we have somebody come on. A couple of the people that we spoke to that did clips, they were like, hey, we want to come on the show and hang out. Like, yeah, sure. Like, we'll work it out. Yeah. So I think that might be where we go from here. But yeah, that's kind of, hopefully a very solid and successful 2024 ahead of me. So we'll see.
You mean hopefully you will come on?
No, I know I will. I know it'll be fun, right? And it's going to be amazing, and it's going to be like, 2023 was the most successful year of the podcasting career and the media venture so far, and it's only up from here. So
I can't agree more. All right, Adam, your time to shine. What do you want to ask me?
All right. So let's ask this. So let me pull up my questions here. So it's really just a set of rapid fire questions that I have that I usually ask at the end of Foundation. But as a Pittsburghian,
Pittsburgher,
that's what it is. Yeah, Pittsburgher. Also, shout out to the homies in the 10th Ward Barbershop over there in Lawrenceville in downtown Pittsburgh. Go and support them, 10thwardbarbershop.com. Sorry, cheap plug. I have to. Permonte brothers.
Permontes.
What do you think about it?
So I'm not a big coleslaw guy. So when I do get Permontes, which is ever so often, I usually just get the fries on the sandwich and no slaw, because coleslaw is fucking disgusting.
It is disgusting. Yes, it is.
I don't do tomatoes either. So like, I don't get anything with those on them.
Right. Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah. So like, I like me some permanis. It's not bad. It's not like my go-to.
Yeah.
Like, it's a good, like, if you're showing someone Pittsburgh, it's one of the staples of a Pittsburgh kind of thing.
It reminds me a lot of the cheesesteak wars here in Philly. Okay. So I'm going to give you a good piece of advice real fast. Okay.
Please.
So when you come to Philly, and anyone who's coming to Philly, I'm going to be putting this on my TikTok and telling you all the great places to go. Sorry, I'm doing Trump hands for some reason. I don't know why. Tremendous, amazing, incredible show, Katie. Amazing house. So when you come to Philly,
yes,
stay away from Geno's and Pat's. They are tourist traps, and they are dog shit compared to any other cheesesteak you can get anywhere in the Philly, okay?
Okay.
You want to go to, like, a side shop, right? Like an Italian deli, like a deli market in Philly, right? You can go anywhere down in South Philly. There is Josie's, which is at 2nd and Shunk, I believe, down in South Philly. You can go to... Oh Christ, anywhere really. Like it, you can even like it's literally like a, like it's almost like a bodega or a side shop, right? Like go to one of those places and you will get the best cheesesteak you're ever going to have in your life. There's an upscale place, like an upscale cheesesteak place called Cleaver's, which is in Center City, which is on like 17th or 18th and Market. Fantastic stuff. Those are where you really want to go to get your cheesesteak. Going to Gino's and Patch, it's like going to Primanti's. Did I say it right this time?
Permanis.
Ah, God damn it. I said the wrong one. It's like going to Primanti's, right?
Yeah.
You go there and you're like, it's like being in Times Square or the Vegas Strip. You're like, oh, wow, this is super dope. Look at all the stuff. And then you're there for 30 seconds and you're like, my stomach hurts. Why did I do this? Right. That's kind of what it's like getting Gino's and Pat's. So I'm glad to hear that the feeling is mutual for a Pittsburgher when yes. It comes to Primanti's. Pamela's Diner. What are your thoughts?
I've actually never had Pamela's. I have been living here for going on my 28th year of life, and I have never been to Pamela's.
Go to the Strip District one, because I used to live over near Mount Lebanon and Bethel Park. There's one right there on the road there by Mount Lebo, but the best one I've ever eaten at is on the Strip District, and then the one that's down by campus, right on the main road there before you hit the towers, right? I can't remember the name of the road there. I think that's Oakland. It's in Oakland. Go to either one of those. Oh my God. You like tomorrow, if you have time, go there. make it a priority if you can.
I avoid like downtown and Strip District as much as humanly possible.
Yeah. If I can. I can see that.
So like.
I can see that.
Maybe when it's nicer and not gross outside.
Well, so when I lived there, I moved out there for job opportunity in 2020, and in the winter of 2020 into like, you know, spring of 2021, when the seasons changed, there were 5 days of sunshine in Pittsburgh that entire time. Five. That's it.
That's not true.
It is. And it was. I was like, what's happening? Why is everything cloudy? But if you want to go, the Strip District, I would go to the Oakland one if you want to avoid this, because I know they have a lot going on down there right now, building wise. There's a lot of new construction and stuff going on there. But I do love Holdy's food market as well. I typically try to get like ribs while I'm down there in the area. But if you've never gone to Pamela's, you gotta go, and then let me know what you think. Okay.
I will of course let you know once I eventually go to Pamela's. I think now that I realize it, I went down the Strip District a few months ago to go to Putt Shack because Putt Shack was open. It's like a new mini golf place.
Yeah.
And like, I think like now I'm thinking about it, I think we parked right next to Pamela's. We just didn't know. Oops. Well, it is.
Well, at least that's 95% of the battle, right? So I'm gonna ask. So typically at the end of Foundation Radio, when I have my guests on, I ask them a string of questions, just rapid fire. It's the first thing that pops into your mind, and I'm gonna run through them now. Your all time favorite wrestling match.
Cena Shawn Michaels Mania 23. I was there.
Wow, okay. Well, that makes sense. Your favorite WrestleMania?
Fuck. I can't use my cop out of 23. I can't
you
be my
can, answer. You can literally say whatever you want. These are your answers. You can say whatever you want.
And I'm going to say, oh God, I'm awful with the numbers. 2019's Mania, when Becky won the main event.
That was 35. That was when Kofi
won. Yeah, Matt. Right?
Yeah. Yep. Hey,
Kofi representation Mania. Yeah. Mania.
That's right. The worst match of all time.
I feel like I should have an answer for this. I hate a lot of things.
There's a lot of really bad wrestling out there. As much as there's good stuff, there's bad stuff too.
There's a lot of bad. Shit. It's it has to be something with Hulk Hogan in it.
Maybe the main event
has to.
Was it WrestleMania 9 when in Vegas with Yokozuna? Or the finger poke of doom, maybe?
Anything that involves Hogan and Ric Flair. I'm just going to say that. I'm not fans of either of them as human beings, and that just,
Yeah. favorite wrestling angle?
Ooh. Oh, that's a good one. There's been so many. In recent memory, I'll give two answers.
Okay.
In recent memory, everything they did with the White Rabbit and the Bray Wyatt stuff.
Yeah, that was great shit.
A lot of people, GWAR codes, the White Rabbit. Like, I love horror movies and shit like that. So that's
okay. That's awesome.
but like, I'll think back a little ways here. I really liked the angle they did with Mickey being like the obsessed Trish fan.
Yeah. Yep.
That's slowly like making its way back into wrestling. Like if you watch NXT, Tatum's kind of doing it with Lyra right now.
Yeah.
And like, again, it's like horror movie tropes. It's single white female type shit. I love it.
I'm about it. Two more questions for you. Seth Rollins or Kenny Omega?
Seth Rollins. Nothing against Kenneth, but I'm team Seth-ry Rollins over here.
Every time I think Kenneth, every time someone says Kenneth, I think of 30 Rock and Alec Baldwin Kenneth. And you ever watch that show? That's all I can think about. Even when I see Kenny Omega, that's all I can think about. It's Kenneth. It just pops me every time.
I just try and think of fun names for people.
I like it. Pastor Cody, Rock the Dwayne Johnson. We've been doing this whole time. And my last question for you, Sting versus The Undertaker. It finally happens. Who goes over?
Oh, well, there's so many packages to think about here. Because if we're thinking like, is this before the streak was ended? Prematurely, might I add.
It's streak Undertaker.
Okay.
I would say Ministry of Darkness Undertaker, probably. Actually, Undertaker right after the American Badass when he went back to the Dead Man. And Sting, prime of his career, TNA, like early TNA, after like, still Crow like gimmick. But more like the Crow of what we know now. Two people. But the streak is still happening.
Oh, I mean, the match would be phenomenal. Let's just call that a thing.
Yeah. Yeah.
the match that should have happened and we never sadly got. I think Taker would take it. Like, Taker was kind of like living his shit during that time, like right after Badass Taker, and he was going back in the Dead Man shit.
Yeah.
And that was when like, the streak was like hot.
Yeah.
I'm like, my mom's favorite wrestler, Sting, so like, I'm kind of going against her right now for that, hey, but listen, I think Taker would take it.
Yeah, that's I think 99% of the time people say Taker. I haven't had anybody say Sting yet.
Really?
Mm-hmm. As much as I would like to see Sting, you know, take the win there. I think during the streak, I don't think anybody was touching him. I don't know if Lesnar necessarily was the right choice to beat the streak. Personally, I think it would have meant more to CM Punk beating him the year before. Just based on the storyline and where he could have gone and how he could have cemented his legacy.
Okay.
But it is what it is now, right? Like Brock beat him. He's untouchable. And I also love what they did with Lesnar and Cena after that, when he went in and decimated Cena, and that was Cena's idea, right? He was like, I have to be beaten in a very decisive fashion because you just beat the streak. If I come in and beat you, that's going to ruin the entire thing. And I thought that was a really important component of that story. So I'm still holding out hope that someday we get to see the face off in the ring, just even the stare down between Sting and The Undertaker at a WrestleMania, just one time. I'm sure we might get in. He's
40.
He's retiring this year officially. He'll be out of his contract, so he won't be a performer anymore. So hopefully maybe we can see the showdown between Sting and The Undertaker. But there's a reason, right? There's a reason why that didn't happen. And it was one person's reason that it didn't happen. Just one. Taker didn't want to do it. And it sucks because that was, you could have printed that. You could have, like,
that was printable money at that point.
Literally, you could have printed, you could have fed families for generations with that match. But I digress. This has been an absolute blast. I have really enjoyed this. I rarely get a chance to talk about myself like this or just have like a more casual conversation. So yeah. I really dig this. Thank you for having me on, Katie. It's been wonderful.
Of course. I mean, this has been in the makings for a few months.
I'm sorry. Life just got in the way. It's been the shit.
Also but... on me. I haven't done an interview in like 6 months. So like, thanks for bringing me back into this here.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Oh, shit.
Yeah. Hey, it's on me too.
So you have to let the people know where they can find you. Sure. Of course.
You can find me everywhere. At This Is Goober. You can see right here.
Yeah.
This Is Goober. You can find me there on Twitter, Instagram, TikTok. I'm on Blue Sky and I'm on Threads with that handle as well. Yes, it's my handle. No, I'm not changing it. It's a brand, pal. So you can find me there and stay up to date with everything I got going on. Mindofthemeanie.com. Also Mind of the Meanie on Twitter and Instagram, which is my podcast with former WWE superstar and ECW original, The Blue Meanie. New episodes every Monday, wherever you get your podcast. Foundation Radio is my other show. That's at foundationradio.net. Every Tuesday, I release episodes there. Both shows are on the Premier Podcast Network, so you can check them out and get all of your favorite podcasts there as well. That's pretty much. You can follow on YouTube, Foundation Radio Pod. You can follow us there. I'm trying to grow that channel as well. Same thing, youtube.com/mindofthemeanie. You can find us there. You can also sign up for our Patreon group for Mind of the Meanie by going to patreon.com/mindofthemeanie. Tiers start at just $10. You can come and watch as we record the show live. We typically record every Saturday morning, so you can come and see us, waking up, belching into the microphone, talking about whatever we want to for an hour and a half. So you can come and find us there. So that's pretty much it.
Yeah. Obviously, shameless little plug for myself.
You're sure?
It's what I do. Yeah. You can follow me on Twitter, KateRasson13, Linktree, I'm about to take all things SheElite Showcase, twitch.tv/SheElite Showcase, and youtube.com/SheElite Showcase, typically Thursday, 6 p.m. Eastern-ish. 6:30, probably, usually. It's always there. oh, God. We also have Patreon, patreon.com/SheElite Showcase, where you get exclusive non-wrestling content every month. I've been doing, I did a horror-type podcast, and a Law & Order SVU podcast, creating your own personal playlist with two of my friends. So we're doing not wrestling stuff over there, but wrestling always gets brought up because...
Why? Wrestling is life.
So thank you all so much for watching, listening. We appreciate it. Until next time. Bye-bye.